Welcome to episode 3 of The Budget Is No, where we dive deeper into how industries, organizations, and individuals connect with people, resulting in a lasting, meaningful experience. We talk about coming up with ways to do this when there's limited resources and the budget is no.
Hi, I'm Katie.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
We have some exciting stuff to talk about today.
When we're recording this, Game of Thrones just ended 2 days ago, but we want to go back a couple episodes and talk about the infamous Starbucks cup. Katie, did you see it?
Well, considering I'm not a Game of Thrones watcher, I didn't see it, but the next day, my entire Instagram feed, everywhere I went on the internet, it was filled with this whole memes of the Starbucks cup being a part of a scene.
Yeah, I think I'm with you in that boat too. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but could not avoid seeing that meme or picture everywhere.
Yeah, so what was that whole thing about?
Apparently, somehow in one of the scenes with the characters, there was a coffee cup that was left on a table in front of one of the characters, Emilia Clarke's character.
Okay.
And so basically, internet took a hold of it and just went to town, and they were making jokes about it, and it's funny because you couldn't even really tell if it was like a Starbucks mug, but everybody just kind of assumed it was Starbucks. And so I found an article apparently that says that the CEO of marketing company Hollywood Branded estimated the value, the earned media of the buzz, at $2.3 billion.
How is that even possible? Like, how did they come up with that?
So I guess they just kind of looked at the mentions they had on social media and Games of Thrones online and TV. I mean, the radio was talking about it, everything. And that's just kind of the number that they've assigned. So Starbucks got, you know, $2.3 billion in free earned media. And the thing is that you couldn't even tell the cup was Starbucks. Like, it was just a regular white paper cup with like a little
sleeve on it.
So
crazy.
So the theories are, do you think that Starbucks had something to do with this?
Well, I think that we should maybe ask our guest for today. So today we have a guest. Her name is Kristen, and we are all coworkers together. And she is in to talk about her Starbucks addiction.
Well, thanks for having me. I don't know that I would have initially called my addiction to coffee a Starbucks addiction, because I was very like, oh, Starbucks, they are the coffee lords. And I'm all about the local coffee shop. And I love coffee. And especially, I'm a new mom, so coffee is like
you
number
live on
one.
It.
Yeah, right now. But I have always been a devoted pumpkin spice latte PSL fan. Like, every year I like count down the days until it comes out, and I'm always so excited. And one year it came out like around my birthday, and it was like the best birthday present ever. So on Facebook, I was kind of looking through, and I was like, oh, there's this thing, and it's like, it's got like a fall background, kind of, there's like leaves, and it looked like it might be a countdown that Starbucks posted for their pumpkin spice latte. So I was like, when is this coming out? I looked at the comments and I was like trying to figure out, because I need to be there when Starbucks releases the pumpkin spice latte.
And this was when they were first announcing it, right before this was even a fall staple.
Yes. So this was probably in, oh goodness, like around summer of last year. So June or July. And so I found this group. It's called the Leaf Rakers Society. And it's a Facebook group that initially started basically devoted to the countdown for pumpkin spice lattes. And you had to request to be part of this group. Starbucks created it. And so I was kind of waiting. I'm like, I don't know if they'll accept me, but I am a devoted fan. So they did. And it kind of evolved from there. So it started as just a pumpkin spice latte, like, let's do a countdown. They created a lot of buzz about it. When I initially joined, it was around just a couple hundred members. And today it has over almost 28,000 members. And it's really evolved. So it went from the pumpkin spice latte to talking about all things fall. It's people that love fall, love the weather, love Halloween, just everything that revolves around fall. So it's just been a really cool, like, community of people coming together. It's created a lot of buzz. Like, I personally want to go to Starbucks now all the time.
Katie, are you a part of this Leaf Raker Society?
I am not, but I feel like I need to be because I'm definitely a Starbucks fan.
When Kristen first told me about this group, I went and I found it and I went to apply to join, and I had to wait for the moderators to vet me and let me in. And let me tell you, it is eye-opening.
Really? How so?
There are posts constantly, all day, every day, people asking advice on how they can order their favorite drink through the drive-thru or how to know what to ask the barista. Apparently, the new big thing is to get water with a splash of raspberry syrup. That's a thing. But I would not have known it if I was not a part of this group. But can we talk about the color-changing cups for a little bit?
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that has really changed my view on Starbucks is I've always loved tumblers, but like I want their merch now. And it's like all of this merch is selling out. And one of the biggest things in the group right now is these color changing cups. And they're not like your typical very sturdy tumbler, but they are a reusable cup and they are selling out everywhere. And I have, I don't know, maybe 10 different people looking for me. I don't even know why I need these cups, but this group has created so much buzz around these cups, and there's like people showing demonstrations of them color changing, and I just feel like
you need to be part of the group.
Yes, I have FOMO if I do not have these cups, and it's just, it's ridiculous.
And this is amazing that Starbucks has been able to create this community, and it's not even like really Starbucks doing this. I mean, they're the ones obviously like hyping the drinks and making the merch, but it's their community and their following that's like doing their free advertising for them, basically.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because it really has become a community. So it's like people saying like, oh, there is this beautiful rose gold glitter tumbler that I have to have, and it's sold out everywhere. And so certain people are like, where do you live? I just found 30 of these at this store and I'll ship you one. Just give me your, like, I'll PayPal me the money or whatever. Oh, and so gosh, it's like really people like helping each other out, scoring really awesome Starbucks merch.
Again, I think that's like a perfect example of connecting people, whether it be through a Facebook group or through the Starbucks store itself. Like, it's the human-to-human connection that Starbucks has been able to achieve, whether it be the color-changing cups or the pumpkin spice latte. I mean, that's genius.
In the group, I've seen posts like, help me find this person who's missing, or I'm feeling really anxious about this, or hey, I just need general life advice. So not only is it a place where people are talking about coffee, but they're also have this common thread of commonality.
Yeah. And I think commonality is like the biggest thing, because whether you want to get into a whole discussion about technology taking away from what we do for a living and the fact of like bringing people together for face-to-face events, but I think technology is just helping enhance that human connection in a sense that you might would never have been able to communicate with these people if it wasn't for this Facebook group. But now that you have something in common with them and you're both communicating over this, I think it's like filling that void of that loneliness, or not to get into like super like meta discussion, but like it's helping you realize that, you know, you have so many other people that are like you and that are interested in the same things that you are. So what are these like conspiracy theories that people are saying about the Starbucks cup in the Game of Thrones?
Oh, so the one post I found, I have it here in front of me because it's so out there that I have to read it. So basically, this girl posted that they think it's most likely that Starbucks paid them to leave it in on accident, air quotes, to get more people talking about it. And since they have a dragon drink on the menu this summer, that if they left it by the mother of dragons, aka Emilia Clarke, aka I don't know her character name, that it would be good publicity. And even Starbucks came on the tail end of it and said, they tweeted something like they were surprised she didn't order a dragon drink. We don't know if it was purposeful or just a genuine accident, but
Starbucks, well, either way, Starbucks definitely made out with this mistake.
Can we lead off on another Starbucks conspiracy theory?
Yes. Sure.
This is one thing that I think the Leafraker Society has even contributed to, is the fact of, like, Starbucks running out of certain drinks. Like, there's the s'mores frappuccino is really huge right now, and like, people will go to their store and order the Starbucks frappuccino, and they're like, oh man, we can't make that because we're out of XYZ ingredient. One thing that happened to me, this was last summer, I was 8 months pregnant. All I wanted was their new dragon fruit mango refresher. That was all I wanted. I had been craving it. It was like my favorite thing that summer. So I go into a Starbucks store and I order a venti dragon fruit refresher. And the barista told me that they didn't have it, that they were out of those ingredients. And I cried in front of him.
I just broke down in
Starbucks. Broke down and cried. And then I told him it was my pregnancy craving, and I'm 8 months pregnant, and it's hot outside, and that's all I wanted. And I turned around and left.
Did you scare him?
I probably did. And he probably does not want kids, and he probably will never forget me. And I will always remember that. But I feel like that has created a buzz. Them running out of those ingredients to make certain drinks. Like, I went and told a whole bunch of people, like, hey, I broke down in front of this poor barista guy that was there, and yeah, I just cried in front of him and left the store because they didn't have the drink I wanted. And so I had a few friends after that that were like, oh yeah, I tried that dragon fruit refresher and it's pretty good, and I could maybe see why you cried about that. So I feel like that's my conspiracy theory about Starbucks, is that they may not really sell out of ingredients. They may just, like, say they sell out to create that buzz. Like, I feel like a lot of people have FOMO, and, like, they want to try a drink, or they want to be, like, a part of the crowd, and they want to fit in that sort of way. And so that, I think, Starbucks is just playing a big old trick on us, and they better not run out of my dragon fruit refresher anymore.
And I think too, so Starbucks, if we're thinking about their menu, has a stable of the favorites, the mocha, the lattes, the cappuccinos, the mistos. But they do from time to time introduce these specialty drinks. Last year we had, was it the unicorn drink?
It was the unicorn,
and then
yeah.
We had the zombie drink, or we had some sort of green colored drink around Halloween. But we have these new things that they're keeping people interested in, kind of building that FOMO. I mean, I went out with another coworker at lunchtime to find this darn unicorn drink, and I think we went to 3 Starbucks to find it, and we finally went to a Target Starbucks, and they were like, well, we have half the ingredients, and we're like, well, make it anyways, because we still want to experience it.
Yeah, like, that's crazy that Starbucks has been able to, like, make that community, because at the end of the day, it's not only, like, the quality of their product, and, like, you know what you're getting every time you go into a Starbucks, whether you're going into a Starbucks here in Dallas, Texas, or you're going to a Starbucks over in Europe. Like, you know exactly what you're going to get every time. And I think that's something that, you know, obviously Starbucks has done a fantastic job with their branding and their quality of their products. And they also, you know, I think too, with their community, they're able to build off, they're trying to do good. Like, they're trying to be, you know, sustainable and,
employ veterans.
You know, they're doing a lot of things, I think, to help stand out from the rest of the chains around the world. So yeah, I mean, and maybe they really are just stashing their ingredients in the back and nobody knows, and they're just trying to, again, build the FOMO off of the unicorn drinks or whatever it may be to get people in the door faster. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
And Starbucks really has no stake in this Facebook group other than they may have a team member or so moderate it, and they've kind of outlined some rules, but the rules are basic: be nice to people, don't talk about politics or religion. Like, this is a place solely to talk about coffee.
Yeah, I think one of, like, the beauties of this group too is just that it's focused on, like, feel good, happy stuff, and they're a group of people if you want to call 28,000 people that just want to make each other feel good. And it's based around like the love of Starbucks. It's based around the love of particular drinks, fall, like all of these different things. Like someone from this group added me on Facebook a few months ago. She has a German Shepherd named Maddie. I had a German Shepherd named Maddie, spelled the same way. And like, we're Facebook friends now. And like, we like each other's posts and stuff. And she lives like halfway across the country. So it's just, it's really bringing people together. It's just a really cool group that does a lot of like weird, crazy things, but it's also awesome just to have a community like that.
We can take away from this the fact that, you know, whatever your community may be, like whatever it is, like your event or you know, whatever your audience is, I think you would be able to create like a subgroup of Facebook group or whatever it may be for people to kind of just connect with each other, that they're all interested in whatever it is that you have to offer, and letting people, you know, be honest and not be so like, I don't want to say business oriented. Yeah, very informal, and just kind of a place where people can connect about random stuff that, again, like you said, it might not necessarily have to do with like the pumpkin spice latte. It might have to do with, you know, somebody knows somebody that knows how to use this product that you randomly decided to write about on there, and somebody connected you. Like, you can obviously like build off of this and make a more intimate community.
So I'm wondering, are there any other exclusive groups that any of you are a part of, either on Facebook or on other platforms? For instance, I listen to a couple podcasts, and they have groups where all the members of the group talk about the podcast. So there might be an episode mega thread. We'll talk about what was discussed and kind of branch off from there. Are there any other groups?
Yeah, so another group I'm part of is just my daughter. She's almost a year old. She has a flat head, so she's in a helmet, and we're reshaping her head. And so there's different like community Facebook groups out there that are just like support groups of moms that have a helmet for their child that they're going through this process as well. So it's also built like those communities of like, hey, this helmet's like making this kind of rash on my kid's head. Like, what do you think about this? And so it's just different. Different things like that of just our journeys through this like season of life.
Another example of a brand or a service kind of using an exclusive group are Patreon only groups. Mm-hmm. So Patreon is this way to back artists, podcasters, anything like that. So I have seen some that if you donate at a certain level, that you do get access to a closed Facebook group that they would only approve you if you were a Patreon subscriber.
So I'm part of a Patreon group, which I just mostly get like email updates. I donate monthly to a basically like a farm animal rescue group that I found out through Instagram. So there's one group that's called Goats of Anarchy, and they led me to, and it's like a goat rescue farm. And then they have like another like friends animal rescue group that's called Rancho Relaxo, and so I donate to them. I think I donate like maybe $5 a month. It's not very much, but they do like specific posts about their animals, so there'll be like maybe two or three emails a day that's just like, here's this one animal featured, and they all have names, they all have personalities, and so it's kind of neat to get those updates that are not part of their normal like Facebook pages or Instagram pages. And so you kind of get, because you donate, they're driving people to get like special updates.
And then in turn, you can become an advocate for Absolutely. That podcast or that group or that Yeah. company that you're supporting that you can't necessarily get through marketing dollars. And having a real life person telling you their experience about what they've attended Yeah. or gone to is, I think, well, word of mouth. It's what we're all looking Yeah. for. Yeah.
Definitely. I think word of mouth goes a lot farther than a 30-second advertisement that you would see pop up on whether it be your TV or YouTube or whatever.
So I think if you were looking to do this for your event or conference or trade show, I think you really need to look at the platform where your followers are. I think part of the success of the Starbucks group is that a lot of people know how to use Facebook and a lot of people are there. So it's a natural progression to just join a group and comment on things. I think you could look at Reddit even with subreddits, Facebook. What are other places we can kind of foster the community?
Twitter is probably.
With chats.
A big one with chats. I mean, Instagram maybe, but it's hard to kind of, it's kind of more of like a one-side interaction, I feel like. It's not really the best platform, I think, to be able to communicate with each other.
So I feel like Instagram is changing and allowing more collaboration, I think, through the use of, like, hashtags. I feel like a lot of people are being able to kind of come together because you can kind of hone down on specific things. I've somehow got into this random Instagram feed of, like, children with disabilities and, like, how much those moms are, like, rallying together through Instagram. And it's kind of awesome to see. I'm also part of, a part of a lot of other Instagrams that I follow that are specific mom-related. So I think Instagram is moving towards becoming more collaborative, more community-oriented through the use of, like, hashtags and then, like, these influencers, if you will, on Instagram. Like, they have these giveaways, and so it's, like, part, it's building groups through giveaways in that realm.
The big lesson then from the Leafraker Society is find the place where your audience is gathering and empower them to talk about your event, your product, and give them a space where they can not only talk about the product, but kind of bring in that human side of them.
Yeah, bring in that human connection, even though it's via technology, but it's still, it makes you feel like a part of that community. And again, it's just more presence for your brand, for your organization, being able to bring people together and have them tout your products and everything, and not necessarily having to be the one doing all the marketing. Get some free marketing out of it.
Yeah. I think you can offer different experiences for different segments of your audience. On Facebook, you can actually create groups that are affiliated with your page. So if your event or conference had a big Facebook page, you could create subgroups. So you could have a young professional group. You could have a job seeker group. You could have a distributor or product rep or whatever. Whatever your demographics of your audience is, you can give them spaces to connect then with the people who are in the same line of work and are experiencing the same thing.
That's a great idea. Especially too, if you are segmenting your group, I feel like it would almost start more of a conversation because you know everybody who is on this subgroup is maybe a young professional within your specific industry that you're looking for. So I feel like it would almost make you more comfortable to, like, be interacting with them and not necessarily thinking that, you know, you're going to be talking with a bunch of, like, C-level executives or something. So, yeah, I think that's an awesome idea.
And just a place to get some more general feedback about the event. They may talk about something or they may not. And it may just be a place where they know that like-minded individuals who are involved in the same industry, the same business sector, are there and they can ask questions too.
If anybody out there finds these color-changing cups, please send a direct message to one of these lovely two ladies. And I'll put something where you can contact me because I need these color changing cups. You guys need them.
Yeah, you're gonna need to buy 3 sets.
Yeah,
one for each.
I think we all need one.
Whoever finds them.
I mean, if you can only find one set, I'll share.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come and chat with us today, Kristen. It was awesome to have your perspective and to hear about your total Starbucks addiction.
Thanks for having me.
So thanks again for listening. We just want to remind you that you can listen to The Budget Is No either on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. You can also visit our website for information about our episodes, hosts, and guests at www.thebudgetisno.com. You can also follow us on your favorite social media channel, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And remember, if you could please like and subscribe and leave us any comments about how much you enjoy the show or don't enjoy the show, so we can make it better.
Cool. Well, until next time, thanks.
Thanks.